from the pulpit.
God, our shepherd, gather us as lambs in your arms. Forgive our sins so that we may rejoice in your coming. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I have a question. Do you know what an anniversary is?
Something that is?
Yes?
Like it's your anniversary of your wedding or something.
What, is that, like, what does that mean, anniversary? What's the difference between anniversary and birthday? Cameron, do you know?
Is that when you get older and when you get married?
Okay, so anniversaries are like for weddings, for marriage, but we have other kinds of anniversaries too. Did you ever hear of an anniversary? Well, we just had an anniversary last week on, I think it was on Wednesday. It was called Pearl Harbor Anniversary Day. Do you know, anybody know what that? Right. So when something happens, a major event, we remember that anniversary every year. That it's not just about weddings, but it's about other events. Well, today... Well, actually yesterday, but it's close enough. On the 8th of December is an anniversary that's really important for this church. Any guesses?
When it was made?
Yes. Not the church building, but the church community, the congregation that they had been meeting as a group of friends and a group of people who wanted to worship together as Lutherans, and they were meeting in different places, but they wanted to be a congregation. And today, This is the anniversary of when they decided, let's be St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church, and they signed their constitution and they signed a charter and said, we are not just a group of people worshiping together, but we are a congregation. So it's our anniversary as a church. Now the question is, guess how many years? Cameron, do you have a guess? What?
My guess is it was 15 years.
It was 15 years. No, it's older than that.
45?
Older than that.
60?
Older than that.
100?
Not that old. What's your guess? 72. It was 1946, on December 8th, that the congregation was formed as St. Peter's by the Sea. So, happy anniversary, church! Okay, so, now, anybody that's older than, you're the only one who was a charter member. So, when Anne was a little girl, very little girl. I think you're probably still in arms. But when she was a little girl, her parents brought her to this church, and she was at that service 72 years ago, and her name is as a charter member. Isn't that pretty cool? That's pretty cool. So now you're going to go off to practice for your program, so we'll let you guys go.
First readings from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Luke chapter 1 responsively. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free.
You have made yourself for us a mighty Savior, born of the cross of your servant David.
Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us,
to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember your holy covenant.
This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from all the hands of our enemies.
Free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way,
to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Do you remember a movie, an old movie called Finding Nemo? That cute story about the clownfish that gets lost, and then everyone is, all the other fish are out looking for Nemo. Well, I had my own Finding Nemo experience about 30 years ago. I was on vacation with my college roommate and my sister and her dog. She had a great big Norwegian elkhound named Loki. And so the three of us, four of us, if you count the dog, put our money together. I don't count the dog because the dog didn't put any money in this game at all. We put the money, all of our vacation money, on the hood of the car that we had already packed with all of our camping stuff and our tent and everything, put the money on the hood of the car and put it all together, divided it in half, put half of it in an envelope in the glove box. And the other half, we said, when that money's gone, we'll just turn around and come back. We didn't know where we were going to go. We just headed out west. I was probably 19. So probably the first vacation, other than a weekend maybe, that really taking a vacation without the parents. So we were pretty excited about this trip. And on the third day, we were in the western part of South Dakota, and We had read in a guidebook someplace that the Nemo campground was a beautiful place to stay. So we headed west out of Rapid City, and Nemo is about halfway between Rapid City and Deadwood, if you're familiar with the Black Hills area. It's right in the middle of the Black Hills National Forest. We knew it was going to be beautiful. So we headed out, and there's a sign on the edge of the road, or on Main Street, heading west out of Rapid City, and the sign says Nemo Road, 21 miles, and it's pointing west. So we started on this road, and paved highway, and pretty soon that paved highway gave way to gravel with tar on it. And that woke up the dog, because Loki spent most of his time sleeping. But when we hit that gravel, he woke up and was kind of anxious in the car. But we just kept on going. And pretty soon that gravel gave way to dirt. And then pretty soon that dirt was just a cow path. And we were saying, are we in the in some rancher's field or, I mean, not field, pasture, and because we're just on this little cow path, we said, you know, we better turn around. So we turned around, went back to that sign, and looked at it again, and it said 21 miles, Nemo Road, so we tried it again. Thinking that we must have, you know, done something wrong. Well, we turned around sooner than the cow path, but, so we went back. There's the sign, but there's a gas station. So we went into the gas station and said, we want to go to Nemo. And he goes, right there, you know, just go down that road. You'll find Nemo. Well, we said we've done that twice. We can't quite get there. This was before GPS. We would have had a different experience, I think. So this time, on our third time, the gas station attendant drove us and said, follow me, and drove us out. And about a half a mile down the road, there was a curve, and we went straight instead of on the curve on the paved road. We did find Nemo. But the question was always, you know, how did we miss that curve? We always wondered. We called that part of our trip the repentance journey, because my college roommate and I were theology majors, and so we knew the real meaning of the word, the definition of the word repentance. Probably had just learned it. Repentance means an active turning around, going in a new direction, a change of heart. A change of your mind to turn around rather than continue on the same path or in the same direction that's leading nowhere or leading somewhere dangerous. So to repent means to turn around. Repentance is not the same as regret or remorse. It's not listing all those things we could have done differently. Repentance is not wishing that you were a better person or that some things had never happened. It's not about feeling guilty or being ashamed. It's not about being stuck or standing still or going nowhere. Repentance is all about movement. It's to turn, to move. It's about letting yourself be grasped by God and getting new bearings. It's about relying on God for direction and then following those directions. So turn on your GPS, God's positioning system. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that GPS that God has gifted us with, so you don't end up three times down the road looking for Nemo. There's new life that comes from those from following the directions. The new life of repentance. That's what John the Baptist was proclaiming in the wilderness. John's message is a call to action, a cry of hope. He's shouting out, repent, turn around, ask for help. God is coming to meet you on a road in the wilderness. So get ready. You don't have to stay lost. Did you hear the story about the two pastors who were standing on the road, pounding a sign into the ground? And the sign reads, repent, turn around, the end is near. And a car sped past him, and the passenger leans out the door or the window of the car and says, you religious idiots, leave us alone. And the two pastors looked at each other as they listened and heard the squealing of wheels and then the splash. And the one pastor says to the other, you suppose we just should have written on the sign, bridge out? The call to repent, if you really knew what that word means, repent, it means to turn around. They would have turned around if they were paying attention to their GPS. The call to turn around, to repent, becomes deeper and more profound when we remember that it is God who is giving us mercy and grace. It's God who is the actor here. We don't repent in order to be forgiven. We are free to repent because we are forgiven. When we remember that God came into this world loving and forgiving, dying for us, then we begin to understand and appreciate how repentance works. It's God working in and through us. This is the God that we celebrate on Christmas. This is the God who is so in love with us that he came in our broken human flesh. This is the God who takes on all of our pain and despair, all of our fear and anxiety. This is the God who defeats death by dying and promises eternal life through resurrection. This is the God of repentance. This is our God, a most amazing God. To such a God, the simple matter of straightening the crooked paths, of leveling the high mountains, of smoothing out the rough ways, seems almost too easy. Well, it's easy for God, but it's not so easy for us. We can't even comprehend it, much less accomplish it. And yet, by calling us to repentance, John the Baptist suggests that we are not merely passive recipients. Grasped by God's love and forgiveness, we are free. We're free to change directions, to walk in that prepared pathway of healing and salvation. God has prepared that path for us. Last spring when I was in Tokyo, I saw a lot of construction and cleanup going on. My friends Tony and Gennari said to me, well, this is to clean up and prepare for the 2020 Summer Olympics that are going to be in Tokyo. And they want the city to be beautiful. So they're doing a lot of cleanup work, a lot of construction work, years of work in order to prepare the city for the Olympics. Millions of dollars are spent, well, millions of yen are spent to make so that the host city can make a good impression on the rest of the world who will be gathered or watching that city in the Olympics. In ancient days, when a king would be coming to the town, the village people would all go out to the edge of the city and make the road presentable. They would pick up the stones out of the path, fill in the ruts. It was the time to make the path straight and level. That's what Advent is about. Our banner says, prepare the way. How do we prepare the way? That's what prayer does. It smooths out the ruts. It fills in those unlevel spaces. It mellows out the peaks and fills in the gullies. It makes our way, smooth, inviting the Lord to come into our hearts. But you know, with any road maintenance, it's ongoing. If you leave it unattended, the troubles of life tend to produce potholes in anyone's road. It's the adversary's way of trying to trip us up, trying to make us forget where we're going. We get stuck in the mire and the muck of daily life. Prayer smooths out the path, soothes the soul, and makes straight the way to the heart of God, the heart of God that our hearts are created for. It helps us to remember who and whose we are and where we're going. Repentance comes in many ways. When our Holy Spirit, when the GPS says, make a U-turn, do the recalculating. When God turns us around and offers us a way to get unstuck, to move ahead in a new way of life, our response is our Advent mantra. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen.